We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the SEO manager for MediaWiz. How's it going, John?
Good, Ross. How are you today?
Great. It's Friday. You know, pre-recording, and it's just nice.
It's raining here, as always, and we always talk about the weather down here in Florida, but it's definitely dodging hurricane season's been kicking in, so.
Lovely. Yeah. Well, it's nice and warm here. Sunny, you know. So today, we're lucky to have Stefan Spencer, the president and CEO of NetConcepts, on tonight. How are you doing, Stefan?
Doing great, thanks.
Definitely great. Welcome, Stefan. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Great. So, Stefan, can you tell us a little about yourself and NetConcepts?
Sure. Well, founded the company in 1995, so back when SEO didn't exist. And we started as a web agency doing web development and web marketing stuff. And over the course of time, became more and more specialized in SEO and in e-commerce. So we've been doing SEO since 99, so a while now. And SEO consulting. We've got an SEO technology platform called Gravity Stream, which allows us to get in there and fix all sorts of issues with e-commerce sites or CMSs that would normally require major invasive surgery and lots of dollars to fix.
Cool. It's always fun.
So you've got an interesting, to make it quick, an interesting story. You started off with getting your master's in biochemistry, right?
Yeah, well, I was actually in a PhD program studying biochemistry. I was going to become a professor or all that sort of stuff. And I decided to quit and start the company. And I'm very scientific in my thinking, so I actually kind of apply scientific method and experimental sort of approach to things in everything we do here at NetConcepts.
So what's the one thing you would compare that's most similar to biochemistry about SEO, if you had to pick one?
Well, it's the running of tests, and in biochemistry, you'd run things like plaque assays to see what worked or what didn't work, and you just put stuff out there on the web and wait for Google to pick it up and see if it spreads or does.
testing. Good.
So, okay, so you're pretty much famous as being one of the leaders in testing theories on SEO, at least from what I've read and all the stuff. I really enjoy your blog, by the way. It's fun. I'm also one of these guys that just love Kurzweil and all that kind of stuff, so it's always fun. Fun reading your stuff.
Right.
So, can you share with us any like you're doing a lot of testing. Can you share with us any recent findings from your testing, even conclusions that just support common theories?
Well, I don't know. I can share some things that I see. The thing is when you test stuff, this is stuff that you don't normally necessarily give out to the world. It's you know, competitive information. It gives us that competitive edge or advantage. So we have to very carefully decide what we're going to let out. And so to give you an example of something that was painful for me to decide to let out, but I did in the end, was this thing about ungrouping the search results from the same site that get grouped together automatically by Google, and then determining whether an indented listing of a competitor's is vulnerable or not. You know, like if you see your competitors at 1 and 2 and you're at 3, that number 2 listing may be actually number 10. It's just visually promoted to number 2 to be grouped along with the same site. And so if it's 1 and 10, you go on to page 2 and you find something that's, some innocuous association or something, and you send some juice to that page, push it onto page 1, knock your competitor out. So that was something that we just figured out from tinkering and testing and so forth. And just to make a long story short, you just add ampersand num equals 9 to the end of the Google search result, your URL, to see results 1 through 9. And then if your competitor was actually at number 10, as in 1 and 10, then their indented listing disappears. If it didn't disappear, you just go num equals 8, num equals 7 until it does. We knew that for a while, we decided finally to let it out into the world because I gave this idea to Danny Sullivan of doing a session where you share your top secrets. This was for SMX Advance for the first one. And, boy, what a stupid idea that was. Because then I got invited on to, be on the panel, of course, and I have to share some of my top secrets. And so I did. And I don't regret it, certainly, but, it was painful. I had to...
I'm betting you didn't share your top secrets.
Oh, heck no.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I got a question. So you do all this testing. How do you actually balance it with getting work done? So you've got this – I'm sure you got clients you have to service. How do you balance it too?
Well, really the necessity – necessity is the mother of invention, and so if you have a customer problem or client problem that you're trying to get around, and this is actually how we ended up, when I invented 2003, it was from a client problem. We're working with a large online retailer, and everything we were suggesting they do, like, for example, change the category name Kitchen Electrics to something that people actually use in a sentence, they would fight. They would push back on, and so I tried to just show them that we wouldn't ruin their site without actually gaining access to the back end, because they would not ever let us get in there and make any changes. So playing around with proxy servers, pull stuff off of their site, and then add SEO changes to that real time, was the birth of Gravity Stream. And that was because we were having such problems with in a real world client situation. If we wouldn't have that, Gravity Stream may not even exist. So by having these clients and having all these different kinds of industries, these different kinds of different types of sites, online community sites, online video, e-commerce, ad-supported publishing sites, you name it, we get all this breadth of experience and all sorts of different kinds of problems. And there's some pretty hairy ones that we have to figure out.
Understood.
So, how? Okay, so you've piqued my curiosity. Gravity stream. I mean, I guess you sort of said what it does, but could you explain a little more detail what it is? Because I'm intrigued.
Right. So let's say that a major initiative for your site is to implement URL rewriting. This may be a big deal. It's not a big deal if you're a small, nimble sort of site that can get in there and fix things pretty quickly. But if you're a very large retailer, it might take a year. It might take hundreds of hours. And that's a serious investment. And that's just for the URL rewriting. What about adding new functionality in the terms of rejigging your internal linking structure, adding tag cloud functionality, and just rejigging the way the pages are laid out from a, make it SEO, search engine optimized, but in a way without ruining the brand and getting everybody CEO and so forth upset. So this gives you that flexibility to get in there and change things without having to do the major invasive surgery to the underlying platform. So take the example of kitchen electrics as a category name. Imagine you had a layer on in between the web server and the greater internet. You had this proxy layer where you could introduce changes, kind of like a search and replace capability. You could say, every occurrence of kitchen electrics, I would like you to replace with small appliances or kitchen small appliances, right? And then you're done. It's 10 minutes of work. Compare that with going in to the merchandising system and then changing the category name, which then affects the print catalog as well and all sorts of other fulfillment systems and so forth. Or if you're not allowed to do that because you'd get fired, then you have to figure out a workaround where you're not affecting those systems, yet you're affecting how it displays on the website. So now you're trying to decouple those systems, which are all intertwined using the same exact categories and product names and so forth across all those different systems. What a mess, right? Take all that pain away just by introducing this kind of search and replace capability.
Interesting. Okay, I'm going to follow up. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask one more question about gravity, and then John's got something, and we'll move on.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hey, have you got the number for Jerry's Pizza?
Look it up on localpages.com.
Localpages.com. Well, what if I wanted a business number in Miami?
Localpages.com.
Can people find your business online? Be seen with localpages.com on every local listing in all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, MSN, and Ask. With over 6 billion quality searches a month and bids starting as low as 1 cent, get connected with local consumers at the exact moment that they're looking for you.
San Francisco, Green Bay, London.
I told you, localpages.com.
List your business on localpages.com now and get $100 in free local advertising. LocalPages.com, bringing your neighborhood to you.
Are you happy with your landing page performance? Discover how to improve your landing page performance with ConversionCritic.com, brought to you by Engine Ready. Turn your underperforming landing pages into cost-effective sales-producing machines. Be sure you're not wasting your precious PPC budget. Conversion Critic tools give you the ingredients to create high-converting landing pages. You don't have to be an expert to use Engine Ready's Conversion Critic tools, but you'll feel like a landing page pro. Take the guesswork out of increasing your conversion rate. Visit ConversionCritic.com and boost your conversion rate for free. That's www.conversioncritic.com.
Your company's website sucks.
You know it. Everybody knows it.
So get a to-do list to fix it.
On Target, a subscription service from Future Now and Brian Eisenberg, monitors your website 24/7.
Analyzing the actions of every potential customer.
It gives you a to-do list. It tells you exactly what to fix and how to fix it.
So that more of your visitors do
what you need them to do.
On Target pricing starts at $1,000 a month.
See more at FutureNowInc.com/OnTarget.
Affiliate marketing is changing rapidly. Stay ahead of the trends with Affiliate Marketing Insider. Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Affiliate Marketing Channel. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm with John Carcutt, SEO Manager for MediaWiz, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Today joining us is Stefan Spencer, President and CEO of NetConcepts. And before the break, we were discussing a unique system he has called Gravity Stream. Now, Stefan, that system, does it – it obviously has to work with just about any platform, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's, you mentioned it takes it through a proxy. So is it actually grabbing it live and then converting it? Is that how it works?
Yeah. So if you have, you know, the latest pricing, latest inventory information, if that's displayed on the web page, that's all real time. And it might add a tenth of a second.
Right. Okay.
To the latency. But yeah, it's pretty much invisible or whatever to the user. It page loads fast, and then you can do all sorts of additional things. I just gave you one quick example of a simple search and replace, but imagine adding new functionality like the tag cloud capability or RSS feeds, or add new pages to the site where you host your link bait, because if you tried to tell your IT manager to add these new pages as you come up with new link bait articles, they would freak out.
So you were part of that discussion at SMX Advance where Matt Cutts dropped that big bomb about PR sculpting is no longer valid. And at the time you mentioned that, like anything else at Google, you kind of have to wait and see what really happens. So we waited a bit. Have you seen any impact? Are you still using PR sculpting?
Well, we are using PR sculpting, but not in the way that you might think. The traditional way of PR sculpting, or thinking about PR sculpting, is not really the right way to be thinking about it. And as I alluded to earlier, we keep a fair amount of stuff close to our chest, and this is going to be no exception here. Let me just... I'll answer very vaguely and say that PageRank sculpting is not so much about sending more juice specifically to particular other links, but it's much more about trust and how your website looks from the outside, and it's about the external link sources more than it is about passing more juice to one particular link over another.
Okay.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, so feel free to say no comment if you like. But from what I'm pulling out of that, with that comment, it's more about targeted deep link building, maybe to set up your PR for internal and sculpting it that way, versus relying on manipulating internal linking structure. Does that sound correct?
Well, PR sculpting is manipulating your internal linking structure, and I'm saying that's still a valid tactic.
Okay.
And what I'm suggesting is that you need to think about this from a broader perspective, and think about not just where the link juice is flowing internally, but what are the outlets and the inlets. So just kind of think about it that way.
All right.
And I'll stop there.
Okay. I don't want to push it too hard.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that it's not the right way of thinking about it, but it did work the way a lot of us were doing it, and I'm not going to say that I don't have a different way of doing it myself, but the fact is a lot of the way other people were doing it, the way people thought it should work, was working. So there is a change. Google has made some changes over the last year. Would you
yes.
say – you've yeah, okay.
Yeah, so absolutely. And I was up there on stage in the past telling people to take all those worthless links on your homepage that go to the latest news releases and so forth, and no-follow those so that you send more juice to the remaining links. And, yep, that is absolutely something that worked well. It's something that I'm suggesting you don't think about as much now. You don't just say, oh, we're not going to do PR sculpting anymore because Matt says so, but instead test this stuff, figure out what actually works and what doesn't work. And you need to have hypotheses that go beyond a traditional sort of, well, let's think about this as more juice going to this link versus this other link, and think of it more holistically about trust and what your website, how your website looks from the outside, from a Google algorithm perspective.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing, if you don't mind me adding, John, it's one of these things too that I have to agree with some people that we focus a lot on these tactics and making this work and making that work, but for the listeners out there, this is all when you get into the advanced stuff. This is when you – it's probably not very SEO 101, quite honestly, but it's interesting. So we can't help it. We're into it. But you know, when you, the basics always stand true. Make sure your site is good. Make sure, in terms of content, make sure that it's got a navigable search structure. You know, making sure your site is search engine friendly is key. And this is just when you start getting down to that fine grain, you're really trying to get that extra ranking, move up a few more spots. Potentially you're up against a solid competitor that has some really good tactics and also has a polished site. You need to start putting some of these into place. Don't worry about it. If you're just got a basic small mom and pop site, don't worry about this. This isn't a big deal. But it is intriguing for people with larger sites, sometimes with shopping carts, you know, we're thousands upon thousands and thousands of pages, hundreds of thousands of pages, and even millions sometimes. These are the kind of things you would use in those cases.
But throw in a crazy idea here, there isn't that big of a difference between SEO 101 and the advanced stuff. If you think about it, you know, stepping back and looking at, for example, the concept of keyword prominence, having your good keywords that you're targeting for a particular page higher up in that page, that's SEO 101. And yet, if you go to the next level where you say, I've got a WordPress blog or WordPress-based site, and I need to have stable keyword themes for these various pages. So this is my category page for widgets or whatever, you know, blue widgets. And yet the keyword stability is just not there. It depends on whatever I end up having the latest post be. Right? So it's very frustrating when it's seemingly random. Whatever you decide to write about, then categorize in that category changes the keyword theme. So what do? You take a plugin like WP Sticky and you install it in your WordPress blog and you assign a category to.
You should be saving for the future, but savings accounts suck. And investing can be scary. We combine the ease of savings with the real returns of investing. We call it Savevesting, and it's only available in our new app, Stairs. Stairs offers 4% to 6% returns, no fees, and you can withdraw anytime. Do your future a favor. Visit StairsApp.com today.
To a sticky post that you write, which is just purely intro copy. And because it's sticky, it ends up at the top of the category page always. And therefore, that's your intro copy that is a stable keyword theme there that's coming through loud and clear. It's SEO 101, but using some more advanced tactics. You're just kind of making that little bit of a leap. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Maybe
totally.
That's rambling.
I agree. I think that's why we jump into the quote-unquote advanced realm. I mean, to a lot of our listeners, this would be what we're talking BaffleGab, no matter how we try and put it. And I mean, I know that because I deal with a lot of small and medium-sized business, and I really have to change how I speak because we don't even know it. They say that from the book Made to Stick. It's the curse of knowledge. We don't even know we're saying these words. And that's what I try and keep my mind on too, as well. So, John, you've got a question, right?
Yep, I do. Kind of changing gears here again. You had a post recently on the Net Concepts site about the future of search, and it was actually really good. I was wondering if you could just kind of share a little bit of that with our listeners, with the future of search as you perceive it.
Yeah, of course, I'm not a fortune teller, so this is just off the cuff here, but I am really into nanotechnology and futurist type stuff. We have a client, the Foresight Institute, co-founded by the guy who coined the term nanotechnology. A conference I went to last year just to attend, and I rarely go to conferences just to attend. It's usually only I'm speaking at them, but this was an awesome conference. It's called Convergence, and they had stuff about artificial intelligence, which will become autonomous intelligence. That's scary. Extreme life extension. Nanotechnology, it was all there. That's why this conference was called Convergence. It's all these advanced technologies coming together. And where we're heading is a very scary place. It's called the Singularity. If you want to get freaked out, read the book, The Singularity is Near, and you won't sleep at night anymore. So in any event, let's not go to the year 2050 or so when the Singularity hits. Let's just look 5 years in the future where it's not quite so scary. Remember the days of working on in the DOS prompt and dumb terminals and so forth. That was painful, right? The advent of the GUI or graphical user interface was a huge transition, and that ushered in a new era. Well, there will be a similar sort of transition in size and scope when we go from the GUI to the LUI. LUI as in linguistic user interface or language user interface. When you are able to talk to your computer and converse with it, be able to have a simulated personality of this computer, is able to ask for clarification and gauge your mood and what you're looking for and so forth. Imagine being conversing with your computer in that way, because it's so much more efficient rather than be using your fingers, typing on this keyboard. It just is going to seem ludicrous in the future. This idea of, so now if you're talking to your computer, how can you then search? How does this impact search? It's going to impact it.
We're going to take a quick break right there, because I'm going to get you into that, because that's a good little transition point. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess. How do you choose the right affiliate network to partner with? The answer is simple. MarketHealth.com, where health and wealth connect. Established in 1998, the MarketHealth.com affiliate network allows you to market and promote the world's leading health and beauty offers on the net. Start making recurring income and the highest payouts in our industry. Choose from over 50 of the hottest selling offers, ranging from herbal supplements, skincare, vitamins, beauty products, weight loss, and much more. Sign up for free at MarketHealth.com and start making money today.
FriendFinder, the world's largest online dating network, featuring over 100 million profiles at hot sites such as Passion.com and FastCupid.com, represents enormous profit-making opportunities for webmasters just like you. With FriendFinder's ability to geo-target and provide billing solutions in most languages and currencies, you are sure to find our comprehensive network to be a good friend to your wallet. Get more traffic-maximizing details now at FriendFinder.com.
Have a good weekend, Andy.
See you, Andy.
Hey, Jan, why are all the coders leaving so early? Doesn't your department have a deadline of, like, midnight or something? Me and my staff are here all night.
I saved money on my staffing budget by outsourcing a lot of work to offshoring.com. I told them I needed a coder, and they sent me profiles fast. My staff just filled in the little details, and now we're having margarita night.
Offshoring.com. Fast, inexpensive, excellent, and on time. Offshoring.com.
LPO, Landing Page Optimization, Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the advertising channel, only on webmasterradio.fm. Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm with John Carcutt, SEO Manager for MediaWiz, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Before the break, we were discussing linguistic interfaces, I believe, linguistic user interfaces. So in other words, we're moving into how you can talk to your computer. And our guest today is Stefan Spencer, the President and CEO of NetConcepts. So Stefan, you were just about to jump into how speaking with your computer moves into search. So let's get into that now.
Right. So let's say that you are then on the road, and this concept of mobile search, it seems kind of silly when you think about where we're going to be in 5 years' time. And, you know, we're mainly talking to our computer instead of typing on it. So if we can speak so much faster than we can type, that just mean most of the input that we are going to be feeding to our computer is going to be through our voice. So that means that allows us to not be tethered so much to our desktop computer or even to a laptop computer. We can be mobile. So mobile search is no longer about using some tiny little device and looking at the little screen and typing on tiny little keys or using your little iPhone virtual keyboard. It's about using whatever interfaces are present to provide that input and then get the output back, and input being mainly voice. What would be the output? I would imagine that you're going to have a lot more usage of goggles, which have 3D displays. There's this new operating system. Did you guys see the movie Minority Report?
Yeah, I love that. Oh, that's cool.
That was awesome, right? And that technology where you can like use your hand and swipe stuff off the screen and then pinch it, and it's all in virtual space. You're not actually touching anything. That actually exists. There's I forget the URL. It might be gspace.com or something like that. It is phenomenal. And so imagine being able to have virtual displays that are, in goggles or that are on like a screen. Not that you want your car window to suddenly darken, and then you're playing World of Warcraft. That would be pretty dangerous if you're driving. But you could imagine that a lot more becomes possible when you're no longer tethered so much to your desktop computer. So we need to really expand our thinking about what is search and what is interaction with our computer. Because it's not going to be too long, and computers are going to be smarter than us, and scary time.
So I've got this image in my head now of Captain Kirk on the bridge. Instead of saying, "Computer, where do we go?" he says, "Google, where do we go to get to this?" So basically, so it's like
that's right.
And at some point, being a little more serious about that, you can actually speak to different sites or different entities online, so to speak, like a Google or like an MSN or Yahoo, just as speaking to it by prefacing your comment with who they are. That could be extremely interesting.
Yeah. So, and by the way, I just tried to go to that gspace.com. Do not go there. I ended up going to a porn site. Not good.
So, thank you for checking that out.
Yeah, and I can't get rid of all these pop-ups. This is not good.
Okay, well, so following that up, what do you think, like, obviously, things are getting more complex. Do you think the search technologies will make it easier for do-it-yourselfers to do their own marketing? Or do you think that it'll always just be the basic stuff that they'll be able to do? And the do-it-yourselfers have a lot they can do. But, I mean, let's think of mom-and-pops. Let's think of people who really have a full-time job and they're doing their marketing. Let's just think of it that way.
Right. So I'm a big proponent of do-it-yourself SEO, even though we're an SEO agency and we're the outsourced partner for some pretty big companies. If you can build in-house capability, then you can advance further and get the outside consultancy to help you with the really tough stuff or the really out there stuff that's just, you know, cutting edge, right? So we're working on things, figuring out stuff that they haven't heard of yet, and they're working on the basic blocking and tackling and continue to upskill because we're coming in and we're doing SEO best practices training and stuff like that, along with producing the audits and so forth. So they're upskilling and getting more and more expert over time, and they're staying ahead of their competitors because at the same time, we're injecting into the equation the really latest cool stuff that we're discovering from experimental approaches and so forth. So
makes sense. I mean, we don't like, I don't know, I think we can speak for all of us. We don't really like a lot of the grind stuff anyway. We're more interested in looking into the nitty-gritties and figuring out the latest techniques and that kind of stuff. After a while, we get a little bored otherwise, I think.
So bringing this future of search conversation back to something a little more in our timeline, the something I've been hearing a lot about recently, and Ross knows that I'm kind of passionate about right now, learning more about, is real-time search. It's on the horizon. People are talking about it, and there's different definitions of what real-time search is going to be or how it's going to work. One that really caught my eye a month or so ago, I think it was one of the major marketing magazine sites covered it, and she came up with a concept of pulse rank, where you look at how people are linking things using short URLs to and through Twitter and all these different microblogging services. And basically the idea was real-time search may have some kind of impact on using pulse rank and how this may even transition into standard algorithms. Have you read about much of that, or do you know, have you got any concepts or theories on that?
Well, I actually think that real-time search is something that is just going to be baked into the main web searches algorithms. I mean, if you're looking for something that is very timely, Google should know that. You shouldn't have to go to a different search engine just because it's happening this moment. Unless you're talking about real-time search not actually being search, but instead being like personalized page of news results or something, and then you're talking Google News, that's completely different. But if you're talking about real-time search, Google should be smart enough, if there's some sort of attack in a certain city and you're doing a search for that city name and it happened 10 minutes ago, Google should be smart enough in its algorithm to pull from the various real-time sources, such as the Twitter streams, what is happening in that city at that moment seems to be timely and important.
Excellent. So do you see at some point where, and hopefully soon I can stop using this example, but the day Michael Jackson died, you know, everybody that I talked to spent the whole day sitting on Twitter, you know, and the main reason is because Twitter was where you would find where's the most recent article, where's the most recent information, and people would link to it with Bitly or whatever. And is there a time when those kind of resources, the Twitter stream, the Bitly stream, the API of links that's coming through that, are going to impact organic search results to the point where at one moment you can be, you know, ranked number two for a search phrase, and 3 hours later you're ranked number 10, and then 6 hours later you're back to number four. So it's going to fluctuate. Search results are going to fluctuate so rapidly on those types of terms where, you know, not that it is now, but search results are going to just totally disappear as a metric of SEO for certain terms.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go in that direction as much as I'd think that. I don't know if you've seen the video for Google Wave, which
definitely.
Is, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, can't wait.
Can't wait for the Google implant. You know, I'll be first in line. imagine you've got Google Wave and Google Search integrated, and you're able to do a search for Michael Jackson and start heading in one direction and then just sit there and watch it unfold. So it's not like you're continuing to do searches or it's continuing to update the search results and reshuffle them, but instead you're digging into the Google Wave for a particular news source like E! Entertainment News is giving really good coverage, or a certain set of Twitter users or a certain hashtag or whatever, and you just you subscribe to that temporarily and you just dig in and you just follow that stream as it goes along. I think that makes a lot more sense than reshuffling the search results every few minutes or whatever. And sure, when you're talking about a very timely time-sensitive search like Michael Jackson on the day he died, absolutely the results should shift around quite significantly through the course of that day. But over time, then it'll stabilize. It's kind of like the dig effect, where you're gonna have this very short window, whatever, 24 hours, and everything's different on your website. You're like, you know, batten down the hatches. We're about to get hit with this torrent of traffic. So it's just that little window of time. Everything's different, kind of like all the normal laws of the universe. Fall apart, and then it comes back to normal. So I kind of would equate this real-time search thing of, you know, something is happening, therefore these results are very fluid and changing, but then things stabilize.
Excellent.
Great. Thank you.
It's a real good point about Google Wave integration. I hadn't thought of it from that perspective, but I totally agree with you now that I'm thinking about that. I think that'd be the perfect place to put it.
I hope Google engineers are listening to this.
Yeah, they do.
We are definitely going to have to get Matt to list this and get him to pass it around. So let's tie this up with, a top list, top 10, if you wish, of what you think the do-it-yourselfer should focus on when optimizing their sites.
Right. So let's kind of break this into two major areas. Let's break it into on-page and off-page. So the on-page stuff, now we're talking about things like title tags and anchor text of internal links that point to that page. So if you can just focus on certain high-value activities, I'd say those are the two most important ones. You could do H1 tags and URLs as well. Those are more second order. And then third order would be things like meta descriptions, which actually aren't going to improve your rankings, but improve clicks, click-through. So on the on-page stuff, I would use this approach of like thin slicing. Go through and quickly bang through all your content, all your pages. Don't overthink it, but rewrite your title tags from an SEO point of view. Just bang, 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 without having to think about all the copy on the page and all the internal linking structure and everything. Kind of just focus. 10 seconds a title tag, 15 seconds. Pull out of, like if you're using WordPress or whatever, pull all that out from all the dynamic content out from your database and bring it into an Excel file. And you have your existing post names or page titles, and now you have your new ones. Or you can use my SEO title tag plugin and do the same thing. That was a nice plug. Anyways, I didn't mean to do that. But whatever, it's a free plugin, so I'm not selling anything. So if you kind of thin slice through these high-value things, I think that's a really cool thing to do. Then on the off-page stuff, rather than doing the hard slog of picking up the phone and sending out emails and so forth to build links one at a time, what if you just focus on some really great link bait articles and build up some reputation and street cred in some of the social sites, like StumbleUpon would be a great one to build your street cred in and reputation profile, et cetera, and start pushing your stuff out along with other things that are fantastic, and don't push anything out of yours that's garbage, but write really great content that's very humorous or very interesting, useful, that sort of thing. And that, I think, is a very high-value off-page activity to be working on.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Stefan. That's been great. On behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, SEO Manager for MediaWiz, we'd like to thank you for coming today. It's been very enlightening. I think a lot of our listeners are going to love this.
Definitely. Thank you, Stefan. It's been a really, really good conversation.
Well, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Awesome. Right. Well, thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week, Monday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Have a great week.
Thanks, everybody.
Everyone loves shopping online. Well, I'm going to tell you what I tell my golf buddies when they buy clubs. Stop searching for coupon codes. Download Capital One Shopping to your computer. Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. Plus, it's free, and you don't even need a Capital One card to use it. That's like hitting a hole in one without even trying. Capital One Shopping. It's kind of genius. What's in your wallet?
Savings and available coupons vary.